Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shai Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Pranayana Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Ganga Maya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskachade Satarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Paditana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Ladita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra Panchakapa Chubhishcha Kripa Sandhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya The 11th of February 2024 in North Sydney, Australia. And we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, Talks Between Lord Shiva and Sati, and this is in regard to going to Daksha's sacrifice. This is Lord Shiva trying to convince Sati not to go. And we're on text 20. Vyaktam tvam udriksha gate prajapate. Priyatma janam api subhrume matam. Tatapi manam na putu prapatyate yase. Mad ashtrayat ka pratitapyate yata. Please chant. Vyaktam. It is clear. Tvam. You. Utkrishta gatihe. Having the best behavior, Prajapatihe, a Prajapati Daksha, Priya, the pet, Atmajanam, of the daughters, Asi, you are, Subru, O you with the beautiful eyebrows, Me, my, Mata, considered, Tata Api, yet, Mahanam, honor, not, Pittahu, from your father, Prapasyase, you will meet with, Mat Ashrayat, from connection with me, Kaha, Daksha, Paritapyate, is feeling pain, Yataha, from whom? Srila Prabhupada's purport. My dear white complexioned wife, it is clear that of the many daughters of Daksha, you are the pet, yet you will not be honored at his house because of your being my wife. Rather, you will be sorry that you are connected with me. Does the Sanskrit literally say, you are my wife? What is it in the Sanskrit that Prabhupada is translating here? You are my wife. Nope, good guess. Another good guess, but all that tells you is about her father. So, Mat Ashraya. Yes, you're under my shelter. Yes. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Shiva put forward the argument that even if Sati proposed to go alone, without her husband, still she would not be received well because she was his wife. There was every chance of a catastrophe, even if she wanted to go alone. Therefore, Lord Shiva indirectly requested her not to go to her father's house. Vyaktam tvam ukritam kate prajapate priyatmajanam asisu brume mata tatapimanam na patu prapasise madashrayatka pratitapite yataha. My dear white complexion wife, it is clear that of the many daughters of Daksha, you are the pet. Yet you will not be honored at his house because of your being my wife. Rather, you will be sorry that you are connected with me. So we end at what time? 8:30 or 8:45? 9. You're not sure? Somewhere around there? Okay. So this kind of thing goes on all the time in the world, that someone marries a person who's not respected by their parents. Doesn't this happen all the time? You know, we don't like who you married, and therefore you're not welcome. It's quite common. These bonds of affection in the family can be broken so easily. I mean, this is a story that happens over and over and over again. Girl falls in love with some guy that the parents don't approve of, or guy falls in love with some girl that the parents don't approve of, and the parents basically disinherit them. And you might say, well, they can go alone without their unwanted spouse. But still, the parents will be, you know, there'll be some tension. And either they're not welcome at all, or there'll be some tension that you can feel. You don't like the person that I married. Yes. Of course, in this case, Prajapati Daksha had actually arranged this marriage of his daughter, according to the advice of Lord Brahma, but he was sorry about that. He had regret about it. It's like, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have arranged that marriage. And the reason that he had regret about it was due to his false ego, that he didn't feel that his son-in-law was properly respectful to him. He comes in the assembly, right, shining like the sun, and his son-in-law is in meditation and doesn't show him respect. This is a repeating trope in the Shastra. A person who's in samadhi, and because they're in samadhi, they don't notice what's going on. Because one of the steps in going to samadhi is that you withdraw your senses from the external objects. Yes, you're familiar with the Sangha Yoga, Yam Niyam. And then there's... And asanam and... Well, before you get to dharana, what else is there? Pranayam, and there's another one. Pratyahara. Pratyahara means that you're withdrawing your senses from everything else. So you lead a good life, yam niyam, and you, when we, our physical human bodies are designed mechanically so that if we breathe and sit in a certain way, our mind will go into another state, it will go into a trance. So you do pranayam, and then you do asana, and then you have to do pratyahara. You have to withdraw your senses from awareness. Pratyahara occurs naturally in deep sleep, by the way, where our senses no longer interact with their sense objects. And then you can do dhyana, dharana, and samadhi. Dhyana, you're meditating on something. Dharana, you're holding that meditation. And samadhi, you're just flowing in that meditation. And so someone's already done pratyahara before they even get to dhyana. And therefore, their awareness of external sense perception is diminished. And we have other instances of people getting offended by somebody in samadhi. Who else got offended by someone in samadhi? Parikshit Maharaj. Right? Parikshit Maharaj was thirsty, and he was the emperor. He was used to being obeyed, and he comes into a sage's house, and the sage is in samadhi. Water! I don't even know if he said, would you please get me some water? He might have said, water! And Shamak Rishi didn't hear him. There's at least one other instance that I'm aware of in the Bhagavatam. There may be more that I'm not thinking of at this moment.
Is it
Indra Jumna Maharaj. Yes, not my godbrother. But King Indra Jumna was practicing yoga. He was in Samadhi. And I don't remember the sage. Was it Agastya? It was Agastya who comes and tries to talk to him. And he doesn't know Agastya is there. And Agastya said to him, "You're just like a dull animal. So I curse you to become an..." What animal does he curse him to become? An elephant. And that elephant becomes, of course, Gajendra. Yes. So we have this problem that a person's in samadhi and someone else takes it as an insult. I mean, in our ordinary life, these kind of things happen. You know, I'm having a really bad day, I'm really upset about something, and so I'm not responding socially and emotionally in a normal fashion. And people around me who don't know that I'm going through something feel insulted by my behavior. Correct? Yes? Or we feel insulted by someone else's behavior. We take things personally. So this is what Daksha's doing, and he's deciding that Shiva doesn't respect him, and because Shiva doesn't respect him, and his daughter is under Shiva's shelter, he's not going to respect his daughter either, even though his daughter here is described as Priya. Priyat Majana. Atmaja, Atma means self, Ja means birth, those to whom you've given birth. Your Atmaja are your children. And Priya Atmaja, a very dear child. And so Lord Shiva is saying, you're probably the most dear of all of his children. I don't know if that's actually a fact. Daksha had a lot of children, but he said you're the most dear of all of his children or all of his daughters. But still, your father has cut off his relationship with you because of your shelter. So I wanted to look at this idea of shelter and kind of compare the different shelters that are going on here, this mat ashrayat, because our shelter defines us more than anything else. I mean, here, Daksha is defining Sati more by her shelter than by her bodily relationship with him, even though it was Priya, it was a very affectionate relationship with him. And that's because we cannot exist without shelter. We're very small, we're jiva tattva. We have to have a shelter, and we can take shelter like Daksha's taking shelter, or we can take shelter like Sati is taking shelter, and the results are quite different. So we cannot exist without shelter. We are never independent. If we even think about the big demons who try to be independent, like Hiranyakashipu, he had to get under the shelter of... Whose shelter did he have to take? Brahma. He had to take shelter of Brahma. He wasn't independent. Right? Ravana had the shelter of Shiva. I mean, even these people who appear to be independently powerful, they have to have someone's shelter. We cannot supply everything independently for ourselves. Now you might say, okay, there's a yogic power, a prapti city, where you can just grab things from anywhere. You can just manifest things from anywhere. You can even create a whole planet. Vishwamitra Muni made human beings grow on trees instead of in women's wombs. Of course, Lord Brahma told him to stop that. He said, don't do that. It's not the way things are supposed to work. But even then, the 11th canto describes all these mystic powers as coming from connection with the Supersoul. We can't manifest them alone. I mean, we all know that even our ordinary Kali Yuga human powers that we have, right? We can walk, we can talk, we can see, we can drive a car. We're not independent in them, are we? They can be taken away at any moment. At any moment. By anything unexpected. Isn't that correct? Right? Like somebody was saying to me yesterday, well, aren't some careers inherently dangerous? And I said, yes, but life is inherently dangerous. I mean, I was once speaking on a stage And when I went to walk, I didn't have any socks or shoes on. When I walked down the steps, some of the steps were wet, and I slipped and I broke my foot. I mean, it's just like that. It doesn't take much, right? And if you hit your head instead of your foot, it may knock your brain out of place. It happened to my sister-in-law that she was staying at someone's house. She went to use the toilet in the middle of the night, opened the wrong door, fell down concrete steps to the cellar, and she never had her full mental capacity after that. We're all under shelter. We're just not independent. This is one of the six items of surrender, is to acknowledge that one is not independent in fulfilling one's desires. Even someone who's living alone on a, you know, on an island, there's always those sort of stories, somebody who gets stranded on some deserted island. You're dependent on the coconut trees and the avocado trees, or maybe the fish that you catch, or the rain. You still have to be under some kind of shelter. Now, this concept that I'm just going to do whatever I want, and it doesn't work. When I visited the temple in Chicago, I visited temples before in New York, but when I visited the Chicago temple, this was the day before I decided to move into the ashram. And I came, and it was the winter in Chicago, so I was wearing these big boots that I didn't want to take off. So I was just sitting at the bottom of the stairs. And this one brahmacharya came and said, "Oh, how can I help you?" And I said, "Well, I just want to buy some incense." You know, in those days, ISKCON was maintained by spiritual sky incense and spiritual sky oils. And I said, "I like your spiritual sky incense." So he went and got some incense for me, and then he was talking to me for about 2 hours, trying to convince me to surrender to Krishna. And I said, "Well, I don't want to surrender to anybody." Especially that was the time in America of the counterculture, don't trust anyone over 30 and don't accept any authority. Those were the bumper stickers, you know. So I said, "I don't want to accept any authority." And he said, "You're already accepting so many authorities." And I was like, "How does he know?" I thought that was my personal secret, you know. He said, "Why don't you accept the best authority?" And I'm like, "Yeah, this actually might be a really good idea." And I came back the next day and begged the temple president to let me stay. So then the question is, what are we going to have as our shelter? That's our question. Again, this is not a question that we like as conditioned souls. We like to have the idea. Ishwar hum hum bogi siddham, right? I am the controller. I am the master. I'm controlling my life. I'm doing what I want to do. I live in a free country where I can do what I like. So we tend to have this idea, but really what we have to choose is, what shelter am I under? And you guys, you already know the choices, right? There's two choices. Of course, within those choices, there's many subcategories of choices, but there's two main choices. Do I want to be under the shelter of the reality or the shadow? That's the choice. The reality of the shadow. All right, let's look first at Daksha. He's under the control of the shadow. Now, of course, the real ironic, humorous, amazing thing is, who's the personification of the shadow? And who's Maya? Another name, please. Sati! Isn't that funny? I just think that's hysterical. Lord Shiva's wife, Sati, is Durga. She is the shadow. Yes? Srishti, Stiti, Pranaya, Sadhana, Shakti, Rekha, Chaya, Vyasta, Bhuvanani, Vyarta, Durga, Ichchana, Rupa, Abhyasta, Tates, Patesa. She's the shadow. She's Maya. Actually, Daksha is under the shelter of his own daughter. Does he realize that? Does he realize that? He doesn't have a clue, does he? Hey, what wonderful stories these are. Right? He's going around thinking, "Oh, I don't like my daughter." And he doesn't realize that it's his daughter's energy that's actually manipulating and controlling his bewilderment and his unhappiness. So Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita what it means to be under the shelter of the shadow. Prakriti stani karshati. It's a big struggle. Mamai vamsa jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Mana shastran indriyani prakriti stani karshati. We're struggling with our mind and senses. Has everyone experienced that? Yes? Your stomach is full and your tongue says, I want another one of whatever it is you like, glajjamins or pakoras or whatever your thing is. And we're struggling with our senses. We're struggling with our mind. We're thinking, I really want to tell that person off and insult them, but if I do that, I might lose my job. Or I think I'm just going to stay up a little bit later. It won't hurt. I just another 5 minutes. As we're constantly undergoing this struggle with our senses and our mind. And it doesn't let up, does it? It's like all the time. So I really like Entry Manashiksha. And I think I've taught Manashiksha here before, yeah? I think so. So I really like Manashiksha. Raghunathas Goswami is explaining this. This is in verse 5. And he's explaining this in terms of a devotee. And this explanation is at least somewhat relevant to Daksha. Daksha is not just a run-of-the-mill materialist like you're going to find at Kmart. Okay? He's a direct son of Lord Brahma. In this particular life, he doesn't even have a mother. He's one of the leading Prajapatis. He's an extremely elevated soul. He gets to see the Lord personally. In fact, even in his next life, as the son of the Prachetas, he gets to see the Lord personally and experience ecstasy. And Srila Raghunathas Goswami in Manashiksha starts off talking about elevated devotees. Those who have guru, first word is guru. Those who have guru, those who have unprecedented attachment for guru, the mantra, the holy name, the holy places, the devotees. Those who have given up ordinary dharma and adharma. Those who are willing to take birth after birth to serve the Lord. So he's talking about devotees of that caliber, very high caliber. And then he says they may struggle with hearing mundane sounds. Hearing and speaking mundane sounds that he compares to a prostitute. And if you have finished with that, if you're speaking and hearing transcendence, then you run into this problem of the shelter of the shadow, which he describes then in the 5th verse as being accosted by robbers on the road, on the shining path, he says. And again, this is a padati, so the verses are in order. And so he's talking about very elevated persons who are then accosted on the road by robbers. Now, I don't think that happens much in Sydney. I don't think you have very many highway robbers in Sydney. I know in Johannesburg they do, any of you who've been to South Africa. And the devotees will tell you, be careful when your car stops at the robots. And I'm like, what? The robots? That's what they call traffic lights, you know, and when you stop at the robots, so some thief may come and take your car at gunpoint and they may kill you. I know it used to be like that in Vrindavan. The road, the Radhakund road, they'd say you have to be very careful, don't go there at night. Some highway robbers will come. So highway robbers, you're minding your business, you're going on the road, and then they come and they take your possessions. And Raghunathas Goswami says that they tie you up with ropes. And they drag you. And they drag you to do things that you don't want to do. But you want to do, but you don't want to do. And this was Arjuna's question in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, why do I do things that I don't want to do? Which, if you think about it, is a very funny question to ask. Why do I do things that I don't want to do? Why do I feel forced to do things that I don't want to do? And Srila Raghunathas Goswami and Sri Krishna give exactly the same answer, which is, it's due to your lust. It's due to, and lust means, kama means your own desire. Again, think about this. You're doing things you don't want to do because you actually want to do them. These thieves that Raghunathas Goswami describes, he says they're our own lust, etc. Kama adi bihi. And Krishna talks about the demons in chapter 16 as kama ashrita, being under the shelter of lust. and etc. Right? Sarinathas Goswami, Kama Adibi. From desire, materialistic desire, comes anger, illusion, greed, madness, and so forth, that then pull us around. I don't really want to eat that, and we eat it anyway. I don't really want to watch that, and we watch it anyway. I don't really want to say that, and we say it anyway. Right? And that is these highwaymen pulling us around. We're kind of like a dog on a leash that's being pulled. But what's pulling us is our own stuff. These highwaymen, it's like they're our own employees. It's just bizarre. It's like they're our own employees, and yet they're stealing from us, and we're paying them to steal from us. Krishna also describes this as ahankara ashrita. We're under the shelter of our false ego. I'll guess here that Daksha wants to have a loving relationship with his daughter. That's what Lord Shiva is intimating here. What is it again? Priyat majalanam. You're his very dear child. Generally speaking, parents want to have a relationship with their children. They generally want a loving relationship with their children. You know, the parents who say, you can't come into my house anymore now that you're married to that person, I guess they want their kid to divorce that person so they can have a loving relationship with them. I guess that's what they want. They probably don't really think about it very much. So Daksha wants a loving relationship with his daughter. And yet his own false ego is pulling him to be cruel to her. As Lord Shiva is saying, you're not going to be honored, you're not going to be respected, you're not going to be treated properly. And as he says in the previous verse, that this will be like arrows entering your heart. Which is another very interesting topic that Lord Shiva says to her. This will be like arrows entering your heart, and these harsh words coming from a relative will hurt far more than harsh words coming from an enemy. And Krishna says in the 11th canto to Uddhava that if you hear harsh words from an uncivilized person, even if you're a sadhu, it's hard to resettle your mind. Said even sadhus will be disturbed by this. So because he's taking shelter of his false ego and his lust and his anger and his greed and his pride, it's cutting him off from the very relationship that he wants to have. It's taking away something that's meaningful and dear to him. He's prioritizing his false ego over his loving relationship with his daughter. And we see this happen all the time, don't we? That because of our false ego, because of our desires, because of our anger, because of our greed, we're cut off from the very things that bring us joy in life and enrich ourselves. And we're making ourselves miserable. The only person who's hurting Daksha is himself. Lord Shiva has no desire to hurt him at all. He was in samadhi, and it was pratyahara, and he didn't notice what was going on. He wasn't maliciously trying to hurt Daksha. Daksha is inventing this whole story and damaging himself. And that's what happens when we're under the control of the shadow. When we're under the control of the shadow, we have this inflated concept of ourself, and we have an inflated concept of how other people should treat us. And when they don't treat us according to that, then we feel justifiably angry and offended. And this, my dear friends, goes on as much in the society of devotees as it goes on anyplace else. Even though we say, Amanina, Amanadena, right? Everybody's chanting that. Amanina, Amanadena. Hey, why'd you push me? It's amazing, and it amazes me. It amazes me looking at myself how long I can be in the Krishna consciousness movement and still think that it's everyone else's business to respect me and not my business to respect others. That I'm a very important person and that I deserve to be treated in the way that I've outlined. Sometimes very influential people like that, you know, they're going to travel somewhere and then they have a whole list of how they want to be treated. I expect this there. I remember reading about this with rock and roll stars. I don't remember who it was, but some rock and roll star wanted a certain kind of candy available in the dressing room, And there's one of these candies that have different colors on each one, you know? And there was one color they didn't want. So they wanted a jar full of the candies, but I don't remember who this guy was, but not that color, you know? And if somebody didn't get the memo, then they'd be really angry and start throwing things around and breaking the mirror in the dressing room. You know, many of us go through life like this, and I have this whole list of ways that I want to be treated and how I want to live, and if people don't talk to me the way I want to be talked to and deal with me the way I want to be dealt with, then I'm going to feel very offended and I'm going to take everything personally. And then I'm going to retaliate. Yeah? And of course, that's exactly what's about to go on here. We're leading up, Lord Shiva's foreshadowing this really messy yajna. I mean, it's like really, really a messy yajna that goes on. And again, I want to reiterate, these are all very elevated personalities. These are not some low-life people that are drinking and taking drugs and swearing and robbed. They're not people like that. These are extremely exalted personalities. Extremely. And still, many of them are under the control of the shadow. They have the shelter of the shadow. My happiness is going to come from whether or not I'm treated with honor and respect. Now there is another shelter. And Sati has the shelter of Lord Shiva, who is Vaishnavayita Sambhu. He is the greatest devotee. She actually has his shelter. Unfortunately, she's going to move someone out of that. Somewhat. Because she really goes to the sacrifice, although she goes in one sense in disobedience to Lord Shiva, she goes there to defend him. Now, we're very afraid of moving from the shadow into the reality. Because we're afraid that if I leave the shadow, I will be mistreated. That what is protecting me, remember, it's kama ashrita and ahankara ashrita. We have them as our shelter. You can think we have them as our shield, as our protector. I'm thinking my false ego will protect me. My anger will protect me. My desires will protect me. My greed will protect me. I don't remember where exactly it was in Australia, but someplace where I was teaching career dharma, and some person in the audience said, "Don't we need greed?" But that is exactly how we think. I need greed in order to be motivated to work hard. I need lust in order to be motivated to take care of my family. If I don't have my pride and my false ego, then everybody will just step on me and abuse me. If I'm really humble, like the grass, Trinadapi, we say the grass, when it's stepped on, it doesn't just bounce right up again. It lays low. By the way, the grass in Goloka Vrindavan isn't like that. If the cows eat it, it immediately grows up again. And so that's why it was very interesting when, after Balaram killed Pralambasura and they're in Bandiravan, and they were playing so much they forgot about their responsibilities. I mean, they were only like 6 years old, kids. You know, so they forgot they were supposed to take care of the cows and the goats and the buffalo, by the way. It wasn't just cows. And then cows and goats and buffalo, somehow, even though Krishna and Balaram were there, they looked at greener grass. And they crossed the Yamuna to go to the Ichikatavan forest. And the only way that the boys could find them was by the path of eaten grass and hoof marks. So that's very unusual, because generally in Vrindavan, if the cows and the goats and the buffalo, if they eat the grass immediately grows up again. But somehow the grass decided to facilitate the boys finding the animals. Anyway, so Trinadapi is the grass lies down and it doesn't get back up, and we think, well, if I do that, everybody will walk on me. Okay, so a few little secrets I'd like to tell you. First of all, no matter what you do, whether you're humble or arrogant, people will walk on you. So let's just get that out of the way. Okay? Now, if you're the most humble person in the universe and you're the most arrogant person in the universe, somebody will treat you poorly. All you have to do is hang around for a bit. If if you stay in this world, especially in Kali Yuga on this planet. But even look, this is happening on a higher planet and people are insulting each other. It's just the way of the world. There's Adi Atmik, Adi Daivik, Adi Bhautik. You're going to get Adi Bhautik stuff. The next question, does our arrogance and pride actually protect us in any way? I think of it as wearing a shield that has spikes on the inside. What do they say? Anger is like drinking a cup of poison, hoping your enemy will die. You know, it doesn't work. Not only did Daksha's arrogance not protect him from being insulted, it created an insult that wasn't there. And in fact, when we're under the shelter of our false ego and our anger and our lust and our greed, we actually tell stories about what's happening such that we're the victim even when we're not. I mean, sometimes we're actually genuinely a victim. But if someone's under the control of Ahankara, they're constantly creating a victim scenario. They're seeing the world as very aggressive. So taking shelter of the shadow doesn't prevent people from hurting us and abusing us and insulting us. It doesn't stop that from happening. It actually increases that because it makes us think it's happening even when it's not. Just ordinary interactions in the world we'll interpret as an insult. And also being humble doesn't mean that if you have the capacity to do something about it, that you let people mistreat you. Now, there are some people in the Bhagavatam who had no capacity, or in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, who had no capacity to do anything about it. If you're Haridas Thakur and it's the government that's beating you up, what are you going to do? You can't call the police. It's the police that are beating you. Right? Or with Draupadi, she called on everybody. She called on Bhishma, Dhritarashtra, Vidura. Look at what husband she had. Bhim, Arjun. There was nothing she could do to defend herself. Or Prahlad Maharaj. He was being attacked by his own father, who was the head person basically in the universe other than Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. Again, there wasn't a CPO he could call, you know. There wasn't a police force he could call. But if we can actually do something, we should, because our body belongs to Krishna. Exactly part of humility. Part of humility is I'm a servant of Krishna. And what's Lord Shiva saying here? He's saying, you're going to be dishonored because you're under my shelter. You represent me. And so we know that if we're under Krishna's shelter and somebody is abusive to us, that they're actually being abusive to our master. And we protect this body and mind just like we would protect any of Krishna's property. We're not going to let somebody, you know, smash into a temple car either. Does that make sense? Because we're thinking, I have to take care of this car. So I have to take care of this body. I have to take care of this mind. So it's not that if we're humble and it's not that if we get out of the shelter of the shadow, that we don't take care of ourselves anymore, but we take care of ourselves as a service. And those who try to protect themselves with their false ego, all they're doing is creating more problems. So we want to be under the shelter of the reality of which Durga is the shadow. We want to be under the shelter of Srimati Radharani. We want to be under the shelter of Lakshmi Devi, the internal energy, Mahatmanastu Mam Partham, Daivim Prakritim Ashritam. We want to be under the shelter of that energy. In one sense, you could say it's the same person. You know, Durga is an expansion of Lakshmi Devi. But it's a very different mood. Yeah. I was giving the example the other day of the mother cat with the kitten and the rat. Same cat. But if you're a kitten, you've got one mood. You're getting one mood from the cat. If you're a rat, you're getting a very different mood. Cats are not nice to the creatures they kill, by the way. They're not humane killers. So that's the shelter we want to be under. And surrender is, Krishna is my protector. He's my protector. He's my maintainer. Madhe Krishna Rakhe Ke, Rakhe Krishna Madhe Ke. If someone is hurting me, there must be some, I must have some service to do for the Lord in this difficulty. Because Krishna wouldn't allow it unless there's some, I have some service to do. Maybe my service is to cut the guy's head off in the middle of a battle, like Arjuna had that as his service, but I have some service to do. And Krishna's taking care of me. Even if I die in the battle, like Abhimanyu or like Jatayu, Krishna's still protecting me. Krishna says, I am death and I am immortality. Therefore, the devotee says, what? Sampare vipare jivani madame. I'm under your shelter, whatever you want to do with me. Again, that doesn't mean that we don't take measures to protect ourselves, but we do that as a servant. And then we're free. Then we're free from anxiety. Krishna's taking care of me. All I need to do is figure out what service do I have to do in this particular situation. And I really like the letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to Jayaprataka Swami in 1972. He said, the secret of surrender is knowing everything is part of Krishna's plan. Whatever is meant to be, I am doing that. I am in exactly the right situation at this place, at this time, with these people. I have some service here as a servant. I don't know what my service is. That I've got to figure out. But with this person, at this time, in this place, I have some service. There's something I need to do for Krishna. Maybe my service is to buy a plane ticket for next week, but that's my service now. Then Prabhupada goes on to say, do this with all attention to every detail, no matter what it is. Really pay attention to the details, how to do this service nicely. Then he says that one should do this with full absorption in whatever we're doing, and letting all other considerations be forgotten. So in each moment, to be fully absorbed in all the details of what service I have as a servant in this moment. And connecting with Krishna now, and now, and now, and now, and now. And as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 2, I think it's 2:45, Nir yogakshema atmavan, be established in the self, and don't worry about your yogakshema. Don't worry about what you have or what you need. Again, that may be a service. I may have a service to say I've got to put petrol in the car, I have to pay this bill, but I'm not in anxiety about my own protection. I'm not in anxiety. If someone insults me, oh my goodness, I have to insult them back, my world's collapsing. Why? Go to Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter, I can't remember if it's 22 or 23. Yogakshema vaham yaham, because Krishna is saying, I'm taking care of what you need. So what if your son-in-law insults you? There'll be other people who like you. You're not dependent. You know, even if your son-in-law, Lord Shiva, is insulting you, there's nothing, it's okay. You can move on with life. You're not dependent on his view of you in order for you to be happy. That's the platform of actual freedom. That Krishna says, this mentality is actual freedom from all the miseries from material contact. Freedom from the miseries of material contact are not from eliminating and blowing up the miseries. You can't do that. It won't work. But freedom from being affected by it. Now, those who are under the shelter of the reality, they have compassion for those who are in the shadow. But those who are under the shelter of the shadow, they hate the light. Prabhupada's going to talk about this more in the next purport. Those who are under the shelter of the light, they have compassion for those who are in the shadow. But those who are under the shelter of the shadow, they hate those who are in the light. Even if those people would be ordinarily objects of their affection. Why? Because the light threatens their whole basic idea of reality. That I have to have ahankar ashrita to be safe. I have to make sure I protect myself with my false ego. I have to make sure I protect myself with my material desires. And they're the people in the light who are like, Krishna's protecting me. I'm free. I'm free of anxiety. I'm free of distress. And that's so challenging to people under the shelter of the shadow, that they'll sometimes try to kill the people who are in the light. And that, of course, is exactly what happens. And then we have this great catastrophe, as Prabhupada says here, that happens as this story moves on. So, questions, comments, additions, subtractions, corrections, chastisements. Yes?
Anger is needed to move things, to motivate, like that's
what. Oh, and there we go. And there we go. There it is. Is that right? Did I embarrass you way too much? I'm sorry, you walked right into it. What am I supposed to do? It's my job when I'm sitting up here. Sorry. Part of the job description. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Without Kamadi B, I'll lose my motivation. If I let go of lust, if I let go of anger, if I let go of my false ego, if I let go of these things, I would just be a blob. I don't have any more anything. Just walk on me like grass. So that's what we think. That's why we don't leave the shadow. We're thinking the shadow is motivating me to do the things I want to do. I need it. That's what it means to be under the shelter. That's what it means. Kam ashrita, ahankara ashrita. Could you be equally motivated by love? Do you need anger to fight injustice? Could you be motivated by love? Do you need fear to drive safely? Can you be motivated? Can you drive safely because you love yourself and you love the other people in the car and you love the other people on the street? Do you have to be motivated by fear? Can love and service give us as much or more better energy to motivate us for everything? What do you say? All right, but there's a way in which you're right. So now that I smashed you to smithereens, with a smile on my face. I did it with a smile on my face. Hopefully it wasn't too mean. If I was, I'm sorry. Or maybe I'm not sorry, I don't know. But there is a way in which you're right. Because we're not impersonalists. There's something beyond neutrality. Ah. I was just hearing this morning Srila Prabhupada was saying how Srila Rupa Goswami teaches the science of bhakti in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that it's a science. And Srila Rupa Goswami talks about that there are 7 secondary sthayi bhavas and there are 33 vyavichari bhavas. What are the 7 secondary sthayi bhavas or ratis? Anybody know?
Trembling.
Huh? Trembling. That's a sattvic above. That's a sattvic above. Ghastliness. Excellent. Ghastliness.
Chivalrous.
Chivalrous, which has 4 divisions, 4 subdivisions, by the way.
Laughter.
Wonder. Wonder. Which, by the way, Sri Rupa Goswami says you have to have a little wonder in any other rasa for it to work. It won't work without a little wonder.
Shyness and love.
Shyness is one of Krishna's 64 qualities, which is an udipana. So, completely different category. That's an avibhav.
Fear.
Excellent. 2 more.
Anger.
And 1 more.
Disgust.
We had that already. ghastliness discuss?
Dread.
Dread is anger. Compassion or lamentation? Karunaras. So there is a transcendental anger. Woo! There you go. But it has nothing to do with false ego. At all. And it's ecstatic. So transcendental anger can be at demons who are threatening Krishna. That's one way you can be transcendentally angry. Sometimes you might be transcendentally angry at Krishna, like he broke the butter that you were churning, that you were going to feed him. Right? And there is also some transcendental anger, although it's in a slightly different category. Like, Lalita might say to Radharani, why are you still upset with Krishna? How come you haven't forgiven him yet? Or the other way, she will say, why are you being nice to him? You should be angry with him. Why are you being nice to him? And Radharani will say to Lalita, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. You're always telling me to be with that Krishna. So there's that. But that's, Srila Goswami puts that in a little different anger category. So yes, you can be angry at the demons who are trying to hurt Krishna, but please be careful, because unless you're above the stage of attachment and aversion, our so-called anger in Krishna's service is probably just a shadow. It's extremely easy to justify, I'm being angry for Prabhupada and for the philosophy, and it's all about our ego. 99.999999% of the time. Few exceptions, and you can tell the difference. Okay? Anger out of ego is poison. It's literally poison. It literally poisons the body. And anger, as one of the rasas, fills you with ecstatic joy. So, be careful. Therefore, Krishna, after describing all the demoniac qualities, he says, Trivadam narakashedam, dwaram nasanamatmana, kama krodastatalavas, tasmat etvatvayam kujet. He said, if you're just going to be careful of three demoniac qualities, if you can't remember the whole list, then at least lust, anger, and greed. And he says, every sane man will give these up. Oh, and by the way, that doesn't mean repress anger, okay? Repressing anger doesn't work, folks. Please don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. Repression of anger will make you physically ill, and it'll come out anyway in some other form. So, letting go of anger is very different than repressing it. Repressing it, you're still holding it. Is that all right? Okay. Yes? You don't engage your false ego in the service of Krishna. You don't. It's like saying, how do you engage tobacco in the service of Krishna? You don't. I mean, I guess you can use tobacco, it can be used as an organic pesticide. So maybe there's some use for that. Your false ego has no value. It's a shadow. Engage your real ego, not your false ego. False ego, by definition, is anti-service of Krishna. That is what false ego means. It's like saying, how do I serve Krishna with the part of me that doesn't want to serve Krishna? It's not actually logical. You follow? The essence of false ego is, I'm independent of Krishna. I don't need to do anything. That's the essence of the false ego. The false ego comes about from a not wanting to serve Krishna. I guess the best thing you could do to engage it in the service of Krishna is to let it merge with the rest of the false ego. Give it back to its owner. Who's Lord Shiva, by the way? You give it to him. Say, I'm giving it back to you, it's yours. He can deal with it. He can drink poison. Just makes a little blue line on his neck and he's fine. Give it back to him. Yes?
Can you give an example of maybe FTA same, with humility to try to protect the body itself of Krishna. And they are taken in front of the shadow.
Okay. So let's do the negative first. Let's end on a positive note. So if we're in false ego, what are you saying? Are you saying I'm a terrible person? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you're also a terrible... I remember what you did. You did that a week ago. I don't know why you're criticizing me when you do all these things and you have this problem. And, you know, I'm really trying my best. Like, I'm really sacrificing hard. Why are you giving me a hard time? And the other is, look, I understand that you're going through something and there's something that's bothering you, and I'm willing to talk about it if there's some way that we can talk about this in a nice manner. Maybe this isn't the right time, maybe this isn't the right place, but if we can talk about this in a civilized way, if there's something I've done that's upsetting to you, we can talk about it. Now, if it's extreme, for God's sake, call the police. Okay? If someone's trying to beat you, or they are beating you, call the police. That's also your dharma. Is that right? Call the pastoral care office of the GBC or the CPO, or call the police.
Did you say being assertive rather than aggressive?
Oh, okay. But even most assertive people are under ahankara. Always with respect. One of the strange things in Bhagavatam is Dharma the Bull saying that identifying the perpetrator makes you a perpetrator. That's something to meditate on. Because it challenges their whole view of reality. They're so convinced, I have to have this anger. If I don't hold on to this anger, I'm going to be vulnerable. Or I won't have the energy to fight injustice. And they're seeing people in the light who have 100,000 times more energy to fight injustice and are feeling completely safe. And it challenges their whole, it makes them see that what they're doing is unnecessary and wrong and hurtful, and they don't want to see it. Yeah, you can call it as jealousy. It is to some extent jealousy. Like Irani Kashyapu was definitely jealous of Prahlad. But it also is just, it's something you don't want to see. You don't want to see that I can be safe in humility. I can be safer in humility. I can actually be joyous and free if I let go of the things I think are protecting me. We don't want to let go of them. We want to rationalize them, we want to justify them. So it's challenging our whole scaffolding, our whole framework. Is that all right? It is after 9, and so I think we should stop here so people can have prasadam. So, thank you very much. I think this is the last, class I'm giving here in this temple? I think so. I'm doing a bunch of other things this afternoon and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So thank you very much for allowing me to come here. If any of you would like, we just have 2 books left. So we just have Career Dharma and Krishna Meditations. And if you're interested, you can get one here and I'd sign one for you. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.